Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We have a great devotion planned for you today. We're going to look at a verse, and then Kent and I are going to talk about it together. If you want to be getting your Bible, we are in Galatians 5 and verse 16. The title of this devotion is Walk by the Spirit. And let me read the verse, and it'll become very apparent why we are calling it this. The Apostle Paul writes, "But I say," and that's pretty emphatic, "but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Kent, this tells us that at any moment in our Christian life, we are walking in the power of one of two entities, or agents. We're either walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, or walking in the power of our own flesh. And it's either or. And Paul is saying to the believers in these Galatian churches, but he says to us, every moment of every day, we must be making the conscious attempt, focus, to be walking by the Spirit. Now, this word walk is what we call a metaphor. It's a picture. It's an analogy of the Christian life. This walk began when we took that step of faith and entered through the narrow gate onto the narrow path. That started at the moment of our new birth, and it will continue until the day we die or the Lord returns, whichever comes first. And walk implies that there's effort required on our part. We don't just sit. We don't just stand. No, we walk. It also implies progress, that we need to be advancing in this walk towards maturity and greater Christ-likeness. It also pictures that there will be different elements, different seasons, different, if you will, weather conditions. Sometimes the sun's out, sometimes it's stormy. But we're to be always walking by the Spirit. Now, this word walk is in the present tense, and so it really could be translated be always walking. It's in the imperative mood, which means we are commanded to walk by the Spirit. If you're not walking by the Spirit, you are living in sin. You are living in disobedience to this and other passages of Scripture. It also underscores that this is our responsibility. And Kent, we've talked about this. Just because God is sovereign, and He is, does not negate our human responsibility to make choices of obedience to His Word. And this is one of those commandments. And He says that we are to walk by the Spirit. And what that means is, as we put one foot in front of the other, as we live our Christian life, and sometimes that means going uphill, against the wind, with many difficulties placed in front of us, that we must do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to advance in our Christian walk. And in a sense, without the Holy Spirit, we're almost like a paraplegic. I mean, we just can't walk. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk, and we can even run the race that is set before us. And so this underscores how dependent we are for the Spirit's power to be being released in us. And the second half of this verse, Kent, he says, "And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." That tells us that the Holy Spirit is greater than our flesh. And the way we overcome fleshly desires is by walking by the Spirit. And he says, let me read this again, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." That very clearly implies that the Spirit is greater, that there is this warfare going on inside of us, Kent. The next verse makes that clear. He says, "The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, these are in opposition to one another." That's going on inside of us, Kent, this spiritual battle to pursue holiness or to to walk according to the flesh. And that's why we have to be so intentional about this. The next verse, verse 18, says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What that means is the Spirit always leads us into personal holiness and into godliness. The Holy Spirit leads us into love and joy and peace. In fact, in a couple of verses, verse 22, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. So the big idea from this, Kent, and we're going to talk about it, is how much we need the Holy Spirit's power in order for us to walk, advance, and grow in our Christian life. And as you're watching us, as Kent will ask me some questions, I want you to be mindful of how necessary the Holy Spirit is every moment, every second of your Christian life to live in a God-honoring way. So, Kent, I got to toss the ball over to you.
Well, Steve, this is a lot. This is good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I need this.
This is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
It's what I need. So I guess the simple question is, and you've said this, but just to put it a different way,
yeah,
that a true born-again Christian,
yeah,
can live their life not in the Spirit or in the flesh. What do you mean? What does Paul mean by that?
Yeah, and I'm going to give a simple answer. When we were converted to Christ, before we were converted to Christ, our flesh was the dominant force in our life, and the Holy Spirit had no place in our life. When we were converted, there was a change of masters, and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ became the dominant force in our life, the dominant power in our life, the dominant ruling master of our life. But the flesh continues to live in us, to be in us, and we can still walk according to the flesh, or there wouldn't be this prohibition here. So we have a new governing power in our life. No Christian will walk according to the flesh for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. That person does not exist. That's the so-called carnal Christian that you could pray a prayer, say you're a Christian, for the rest of your life, just live according to the flesh. No, you're not a Christian. You're an unbeliever. However, a Christian can, at different times, different seasons, become entrapped and succumb to fleshly desires, fleshly responses, fleshly impulses. And that is why Paul is saying this, that you need to check that immediately. And you need to consciously be empowered by the Spirit. And the way that happens, of course, is to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you and to be one who is worshiping the Lord and living in obedience in every area of your Christian life. So I'm sorry for the longer answer, Kent. Your question was so good; it's just hard to.
No, that's a great answer. So, you've said this, we've talked about, but just to be clear, Steve, this is a great verse for me, and a lot of us are saying, "I want to walk by the Spirit."
Yeah.
And my wife is thinking, "Yeah, I wish Kent would walk more by the Spirit." Anyway, but so just give us right here closing thoughts, and you mentioned it. I want to walk by the Spirit. What do I need to do to walk more by the Spirit?
Begins with the Word of God. The Word of God must be in our minds, in our heart, and governing our will. It really begins and almost ends with the Word of God. It is the rudder of the ship. Mm-hmm. It is the wind in our sails. It is what God has designed for us to grow in godliness. John 17:17, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth.
Right.
That's the primary agent. There are other things we could add.
So it's not just we get up in the morning and say, by golly, I'm going to walk by the Spirit today. That's not the way it works.
No, that's not the way it works. We have to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. We have to discipline ourselves to work out in the Word of God, and for us to keep short accounts with the Lord, and to be confessing our sin as we become aware of where we have fallen short of the glory of God. So much more I wish we could say, but this will get you started down this path of giving careful thought, of walking by the Spirit. May the Lord do this. May He do this in your life. Blessings to you in Christ.